This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi there, Joysters. This is Jim, and you are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. And thanks to Emma and the Her Story team for talking about Girls on Film Festival. Now, that's something to look forward to. It was really good last year. I went, and it was fantastic. And
they're just going great on that show, aren't they?
They are doing very well. And we have our normal HIV specialist segment tonight, our regular spot on information. And normally we would have Clovis Palmer from the Burnet Institute in here talking to us about what's the latest in HIV and so on. But Clovis, poor sweet soul that he is, had to go away for the past 4 weeks. It wasn't on a month ago either, because he went off to Malaysia to do some work. And
he is incredibly amazing, so he is sought after.
He is, and but he's now suffering dreadfully from the temperature between Melbourne and tropical Malaysia, of course. And it's not very nice in Melbourne in comparison to tropical Malaysia. And so he's feeling a bit poorly. So we are going to soldier on without him, and we've got in the studio. That was Claire has just come in.
Hello,
Claire, and James is handling tonight. Hello, James.
Hello.
We've got in the studio with us who's going to soldier on for Clovis. Hello, Clovis out there. I know you're listening if you haven't fallen asleep. Is Tony Maynard, and I've known Tony for about a million years now.
I'd say so.
It's close to that, isn't it?
That's right. HIV was around, a baby.
We were the old people in the early days of HIV, weren't we?
We were never old.
We still are.
And you never will be.
And Tony used to be the treatments officer at the VAC and and PLWHA Victoria, as it was then, now Living Positive Victoria. Yes. And he used to sit downstairs and tell us all about what treatments we should and shouldn't have. So we've known Tony since the days of HIV poisoning.
Yes.
AZT poisoning.
AZT. Yeah. Mm.
So we're going to talk a bit about that. In fact, we're going to get Tony tonight to tell us where treatments have been and got to since the days of AZT poisoning. And we'll have a few anecdotes along the way and how we fiddled around with complementary therapies and all sorts of stuff like that in that process.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, remember the time we brought down from Darwin that bitter melon, those leaves and vines in big boxes?
We did.
Yes.
In those nice polystyrene vegetable boxes.
Absolutely.
Sounds very alternative.
I can't tell you what they did with them.
It holistic. Was disgusting. Holistic. And it was boiled up like Chinese medicine. And it was this horrid green-brown soupy stuff. And it tasted too disgusting.
They're probably selling it up the road for $3 million now.
They probably are. It's probably kombucha or something like that. Now, they do still do bitter melon.
Really?
But not for us, I don't think.
So it didn't work.
We're going to have that. And we might, in fact, depending on how nice I'm feeling by the end of the program, and I could be feeling nice and I could be feeling off nice, we're going to have a bit of an announcement about some of our future plans, I think.
It's touch and go.
So we'll see if we get there. If you want to hear about our future plans, you better get in to talk to it, to contact us. And you can contact us by doing what, Claire? Well, can they SMS?
They can. They can SMS us on, I can just see it from here without my glasses. Maybe they could.
They can SMS us on 0427JOY949.
Or they could www.joy.org.au listen in as well.
They could, or they could, they're already listening. They could get on their computers and they can email us on air at joy.org.au, and that will come straight into the studio.
I think emails are the best.
Emails are the ones we really love, and I notice that we have a membership already arrived, which would have arrived during the time of Her Story. You clever girls on Her Story, you've managed to get a member.
Drumming up business.
So this is Zoe of St Kilda East. Zoe, welcome aboard. We really like the fact that you've decided to join, and you joined during Her Story. So welcome aboard.
You won't regret it, Zoe.
Zoe, you can, in fact, during the daytime, you'll be able to win lots of prizes, which are worth a lot more than membership fee. And, in fact, you can win a prize every 7 days these days. Mm. So when you consider that membership is only $72.
It's lucrative.
If you say it quickly, that's...
It's nothing, is it, really?
Nothing.
Nothing, nothing, nothing. Okay, so, Tony.
Jim, hello.
Tell us about yourself. When did you first get involved in this game of HIV?
Gosh, now you're going back a long way, but it was before HIV, actually, which was when I came back from Europe. I'd been over there for some...
cosmopolitan of you.
Oh, yeah, no. I came back from Europe, and some friends of mine here had... Yes, one of them's dead anyway. So I can say names. They had the Caulfield sauna. And we were remarking in those days about the increases in STIs and things that they were seeing down there.
What year would that have been, Tony, about?
This is about 72, 73.
I went way
back. And so every Wednesday night I used to go down there and offer... blood tests for syphilis and swabs for gonorrhea and things like this. And then, of course, in the early...
That was a fun job.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Popular too.
Well, it turned you off sex for a while. But anyway, in the early 80s, anyway, when we started to hear about this gay cancer. Yeah, well, it was gay cancer at the beginning. We didn't know what was happening.
I remember the Yana Vent interview. Can you remember that on 60 Minutes where she was going around the bathhouses in...
was she?
Do you remember? In San Fran? Yeah.
Yana Vent in the bathhouse.
About 82. She was interviewing people outside. I don't think they let her in. God, so it would have been about 81, 82, right?
Actually, there's still a tape around extant of me speaking to Annette Ellison on Good Morning Melbourne in 1983, 84.
Oh, yeah.
To look at it now, it's got so many politically incorrect things that we were talking about AIDS victims and we didn't know what the heck was causing it. We thought it was poppers and then they thought it was
promiscuity.
And African swine flu was another one that they thought it was. Anyway, that went on,
no one knew, did they? I mean, let's face it.
No idea. No. We did think it was germ warfare back then, and you know, and I thought they've come to get us all. Now we're all going to die.
Oh my God! Look at us. We're all still here.
We're still here, and
many
we're still queer.
Conversation near the TV. Yeah.
Yes. So you know, it was then when I saw in one of the gay papers it was an advertisement from the VAC. This is back in 88 or so, wasn't it? I think that 86, 88. Those timings gone. Asking for a treatments officer and the skill sets they were looking for, it seemed to match what I could bring to the table, I suppose, because whatever skill sets you could have, because nobody knew what was happening, really.
Skill sets didn't even exist back then. Exactly. You were one of the first.
Indeed. And dear Jim was...
You were the skill.
You were the general manager there, Jim.
I was just after that. Yeah. You were there when I got there.
Uh-huh.
You became one of the people that I had to go and talk to and find out about everything that I was supposed to know.
Ah, okay.
The template and the
initiative. Don't blame me for that, Jim.
No, because it was you and I that cooked up the idea of a buyers club, remember?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we could have been as famous as the Dallas Buyers Club if they'd bothered to make a film out of us.
Well, you are now. It's just gotten out there.
Yeah, well, unfortunately...
Well, there would have been a bit of melon scene in it.
Mm-hmm.
Expect to be contacted soon by scriptwriters.
And massage. We had massage therapists, remember? And all
yes. And, well, hydrazine therapy. Oh, gosh, some of those weird and wonderful therapies. And I suppose we could have had a film about the LA Buyers Club. We, unfortunately, went with the guys who were making bootleg DDC in their garage in LA... And we were smuggling it in. Remember in those teddy bears? They were stuffed in. They can't get us now, can they?
No, they can't. Really
no. They wouldn't dare.
No. Statute of limitations.
And we freaked out one time when we distributed all these things. We'd gut these teddy bears and repack the DDC in bottles and give it out to our customers.
And the teddy bears, by the way, were for the a fundraiser we used to run, which was this fantastic fundraiser.
Yes.
Where international designers would dress a teddy bear.
Yes, that's right.
And we'd sell them, and Sotheby's or Christie's or one of them sold them for us, and there was a big auction every year, the teddy bear auction.
Yes, what was it? Was the teddy bear auction. Yes,
that's way before the teddy bear's picnics.
Yeah. And these were the international ones we used to bring the drugs in.
Yeah, and then one time we got was it email or carrier pigeon in those days? I don't think we had email. Did we have email?
We did have email, but you had to have a special license to be able to access it because probably the internet was so expensive.
The screen would have been green.
It was. It was green. It used to flash with a little cursor.
Oh,
remember those? It
took about 5 years to get the response.
I was told about them, but anyway, we got this email this day or whatever. Saying that, we've unfortunately made a batch of this stuff that's 10 times stronger than we intended. And, of course, we freaked and we'd distributed it out there. But mercifully, it wasn't the batch that came to Australia because I thought, people, for those of us out there who know about that drug at the time, which is no longer used, DDC, caused terrible peripheral neuropathy and people couldn't even feel their feet and awful stuff.
I still can't.
No. At least you're still here, though, Jim.
That's what that's what I think every time I wake up in the mornings. Mm. I go, well, that's better than not waking up, I suppose.
I suppose so. You lost your feet, but you gained your life,
So in some ways, it was, they were exciting days because everyone was desperate to try and find something that worked.
Well, we were trying all new things. Remember, we went through that whole thing, and a lot of what we did, I think, was quite interesting because... Remember, we did all that work on because people were really big on herbal therapies and things like that. And we discovered that St. John's wort was actually contraindicated for anybody that was on a was on an antidepressant because it's a terrible depressant.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we give that to people all the time.
We
now
shouldn't
as an
give
alternative.
It to them. We shouldn't give them St.
not
John's
when they're
wort.
On it. No,
no,
and grapefruit juice. You could only have pink grapefruit juice. You couldn't have yellow grapefruit juice because. Yellow grapefruit juice.
Well, that was to boost the protease and inhibit those early ones, wasn't it?
Pink grapefruit juice boosted them, but yellow grapefruit juice blocked them.
I'm sitting here with some human guinea pigs, aren't I?
Oh, you sure are. We were at the forefront in those days. We were really playing hard. And
well, of course, with the AZT trials, and Jim was, we were jokingly saying... before coming on air that, what about the AZT poison days, weren't we? And but it was true because I had a...
Well, we now know the recommended daily dose is 600 micrograms and we were doing...
600 milligrams and now...
And now it's 2,000... And we were giving 2,400. We weren't, but the doctors were.
Yeah.
It's not our fault.
No.
The drug companies, that's what they got the approval and we went and fought the TGA. A whole group of us would go up to Canberra and fight the TGA all the time demanding on... increased responsiveness for the approval of drugs so that when protease inhibitors came on the market in the US, which were pretty horribly toxic drugs, like a lot of us couldn't even smell them without wanting to dry retch. They were so terrible.
You know what?
And they would, we managed to get them through very fast through the approval process that changed the approval process for drugs in Australia, not just for HIV, but for everything.
Yeah.
We are sitting here with two of Australia's pioneers in HIV treatment,
I'm just sitting back and listening.
Just taking it all in.
Before, I'm 88. I was born 88, so it's...
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, I lost a lot of my friends during this time. I lost a lot of my
we
friends during this time.
We saved you, James.
While my
we
friends
can look
were
at
dying,
you and think we saved you.
You were saving other people. It's just
very
so great to hear.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Joysters. You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's 17 minutes past 10. This is Jim. I'm in the studio with James. Hello, James.
Hi.
And Claire. Hello, Claire.
Hello.
And Tony Maynard, who is one of the old HIV pioneers who was
long-standing.
Long-standing. Mature.
Vintage.
Yeah. Vintage.
Vintage cheddar.
No, not like cheddar. And more like a good Grange, I'd say.
Penfold.
Yes.
No, I don't know. I'm sure I've heard that you've got a good bite about you. Anyway.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
In the break, we were talking about massage.
We were talking about massage. And I think that where that came from was that when we used to spend a lot of time, Tony and I, talking about what's working where and who's doing what. And of course, we had every hippie person in the world used to write to us with these things that said, we can cure HIV just by doing this. I remember the person that wanted to run people's blood out of their bodies and through a heat machine.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yep. That was the cure of the KS, wasn't it?
That was the cure. It was
everything. No, it probably cures everything.
Kill the virus.
Yeah. Coagulate the blood.
We didn't know then about, we didn't know then about reservoirs.
No. No.
And so we didn't know that the virus, as soon as it saw that it was getting killed, all its friends were coming in dead.
It's a little hider.
That it would just go and hide somewhere.
And that's and that's still the clincher too, you know, with the the cutting edge research, I think. Mm. And, you know, Françoise Barré-Sinoussi, who was the one of the the one who
she's wonderful. She's one of the great heroes.
She was wonderful. Yeah. She, well, she won the Nobel Prize in 83 for the work she did on discovering it.
Yes.
But she still despairs of a cure in the foreseeable future. Mm. Because, and I understand where she's coming from. I mean, not to put a wet blanket on the research that's being done, because there are some, you know, really interesting.
But she's worried that we can't chase it out of every reservoir, isn't she?
That's right. Well, but the reason being because, I'm sorry, I was off mic, is that, you know, it's not just in the blood, it's in the gut, it's in all the lymphoid tissue, it's in the brain. If you're going to destroy all of those cells that are harbouring HIV by, you know, kicking them and then killing them,
but in fact,
you're not going to have many brains.
The good
left.
News is that the person that's almost her successor in the world is actually a Melburnian, isn't she? And that's Sharon Lewin.
Wonderful Sharon Lewin.
And she has actually been doing a lot of research on actually finding ways to chase the virus out of all those things. Yeah. So you don't have to off your brain cells or your gut cells.
No. I remember reading about 10 years ago about that Trojan horse syndrome that they were talking about, where it hides in the brain.
Yeah.
She's actually onto that. And she's
they are all onto that. And Clovis actually works in that area too. So we'll get into talking more about it.
Yeah. And as part of that too, there's that Sharon's been doing a lot of work with vorinostat, which sort of kick and kill. It sort of activates the cells, and then you can kill it with the antivirals.
Yeah, it's all about getting in there.
Another approach is also, which might be, which is the antithesis of that, I suppose, is I'll say it. The way they describe it is to gag and bind, and they said that should appeal to the community. But what they mean by that is that if you have HIV and it's in those reservoirs and it's not doing anything, so long as it's not expressed,
it's a deactivation of its application.
I mean.
So we've got the cell with a nice silicon coat or something, do you? And that's it.
Yeah.
Lock it up, basically.
Lock it up so that it won't be expressed. And I mean, you can see that with other viruses when you think of, look, how many of us have got herpes simplex virus? It causes cold sores.
Yeah.
70-something percent.
And we've got it all the time.
Apparently.
And we've got it all the time. And yet, how much of our lives is interrupted by when it has a flare-up? And you sort of, you know, take some pills and it goes down again, quietens down. And I think that's probably in the medium term, that's what's going to happen with
so
HIV.
So that's really an extension of combination therapy, isn't it?
Yeah.
The big problem with HIV is that it couldn't be stopped in terms of its replication. But if these therapies are working on that, it's making it almost manageable in terms of how other viruses normally work. So,
I mean, I think the thing that we used to have to do is we used to have to make assessments all the time about what is kooky and what is science. And so that was always a big challenge. What is kooky? And so did you want to really believe that somebody had some way of, you know, putting you in an oxygen chamber and you'd be cured because it would
ozone therapy.
Didn't work for Michael Jackson, so it's not going to work for you, I don't think, unfortunately.
But it was
science works better.
So, but what we did do is we looked at alternative therapies all the time, and we said, what can reduce the side effects and so that was a big thing. And so I think we did quite a lot of useful work, and we, in fact, for some time we stocked complementary herbal therapies that prevented people.
Oh, we did.
Prevented nausea and all sorts of things.
You were
like
doing that throughout the 90s, weren't you, Jim?
And we were, and we did know at that stage that the pink grapefruit juice helped absorb some of the drugs, so that. And we know that some of the drugs are not taken up by the body 100% effectively, and that if we got people to take their drugs with a nice glass full of pink grapefruit juice, they'd get a lot more of an uptake of the drug.
Yeah, sure.
So that was quite interesting. But we also did things like, let me go back now to the story of massage that we were talking about in the break.
Yeah.
And I knew, and so did some other people, a very, very good therapeutic masseuse, actually, in Melbourne, who had done a lot of work and was running workshops on massage for people with cancer and people who had survived radical cancer treatments and things like that. So she understood a sick body, and she actually understood how that would work on the lymph glands and things.
Yeah.
And she organised, we got a grant, and she organised for a whole lot of her people that she'd trained in massage to come in and be trained to work on people who had HIV, and lots of them had peripheral neuropathy, so they had all sorts of aches and pains.
It's just amazing to think back about all
and
these people.
We used to have a system where people who were HIV positive could come and get a free massage every week.
Such generosity.
At
such
Positive generosity. Living Centre.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that... I'm not sure that it exists. Does that exist, listeners? Does anybody know whether it still exists? Well, Can you still get a massage?
One going.
I wouldn't mind.
In the Braille Library, isn't it?
It is.
That's where the Positive Living Centre is.
Yeah, the old Braille Library.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we're having a discussion with Tony Maynard, who's a long-time...
Thank you.
...mature and gentleman...
Man about town.
...of a certain age... who was around in the early days of HIV doing a lot of work on treatments. And we'd been talking about where we were and what happened and what we did in those days. And you can be part of this conversation by SMSing us on 0427JOY949 or emailing us on air at joy.org.au, and we'd love you to do that.
And speaking of, I think we may have a message, Jim.
We do
right?
have a message. We have a message from Simon,
Hello.
Who's a member, whose Hello, member Simon. Number is... 017676. Hello, Simon. Thank you for listening. And he says, you guys should get a QSM for all your hard work back then.
Oh.
And I assume a QSM must mean something like a Queer Service Medal or something.
Queer
like
Service
that.
Memorial Medal. Yeah. Yeah, we should invent
You need a medal for the...
I tell we needed a medal for some of the people we had to deal with.
Oh, yes.
Queen
we know
Service
where those.
Medal.
Where those are now. Well, where are they now? I mean, they're still around. They're still difficult.
Some of them, great, thankfully, are still around because the treatments have progressed so well that people are still alive.
Yeah.
Some of them were very silly and refused to go on the treatments because they thought they were going to die. And I understand why they did, because of HIV, because of AZT and its toxic.
And some of the bad history and the downsides.
And people had dreadful mental illness that was caused.
Which was related, by the way.
HIV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've worked on that for a few years.
Does that have anything to do with the grapefruit that you were mentioning before? Because I was utterly confused by
that. Yes,
I don't understand how grapefruit can alter drugs.
How it works scientifically
is that it blocks the CYP3A4 cytochrome that clears stuff out of your system, and it blocks that, so the drugs accumulate.
More of the drug because more of the drug's available to you for longer periods of time.
Yeah.
So it turns the drug into a slow release drug, basically.
And so. Because someone mentioned to me that if you have grapefruit juice and you're having antidepressants, though, it can act to stop actually working.
There are some
it does change. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
It can boost the levels. It can boost the levels of the drug that you're taking.
So you can overdose.
All those drugs are based on reuptake of various neurotransmitters, which can be influenced. But that's another story.
By all sorts of things.
Oh, let's not get too scientific.
The best thing to do is to remember this. Have a listen to what your doctor or your treatment officer tells you about the information and read the information on the drug packets. If any packet of drugs you open, including an aspirin Don't feed
it to your cat because it will kill it.
It will kill the cat. A dog can have it, but not a cat.
Quickly pick those aspirins up off the floor if you drop them near a cat.
Yeah, because they will eat them. And it kills them. But you need to read the product information because contraindicated drugs mean that, James, it's not a funny thing James for someone's cat it. To die.
Oh, maybe they can get rid of the feral cats.
Oh, God.
That'll make Bridget Bardot happier.
Might be an idea.
She doesn't believe in them.
Oh, poor Bridget Bardot will go.
Kill a few pets as well, unfortunately.
Somehow I just imagine, someone told me when I was younger that if you fed a seagull a Panadol, it would blow up or something. Is that even right?
I think I just imagine
your cat like expanding and just exploding.
No, I think that's jellyfish, but anyway.
Wasn't
that Pete Seeger, poisoning the pigeons in the park on a Sunday or something with you put gin in frozen peas and it soaks into the frozen peas and then you feed the frozen peas to the pigeons.
Sounds like one hell of a
party.
They all get
drunk anyway, you know, but they have
and they crash out of the sky. They crash into each other as they're trying to land.
Don't try this at home, children.
Do try at home. If you're on any sort of drugs or whatever they are, read the product information.
Absolutely.
And take the drug according to what the doctor who's prescribed it to you suggests.
And not if it's a new one. Be careful. Remember what happened with AZT. Mm. We were told to take 600 milligrams...
Four
times a day.
People used to have to wake up in the middle of the night. Do you remember that?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, Set the alarm in the middle of the night to take the next
And you had to take
throat.
It at the right
Poison
time.
Themselves,
yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. They did. They did.
Well, not everybody did.
Thank goodness we're Work past that. So we shouldn't frighten people from treatments because, look, the best thing...
They're much better organised now.
The best thing we can do nowadays, if we're trying to stop new HIV infections...
Is to get everybody to be undetectable.
Undetectable
viral loads and on treatment.
On treatment. And also...
And all the trials have shown that results in zero transmission.
Well, can I just add something in there? If you're having sex randomly, get tested. Maybe that's the first stage, you know?
Well, if you're having sex that's unprotected...
Yeah.
If you're having sex that's protected, get tested.
Yeah.
And then...
In a few weeks' time, we're going to have
one of the HIV GPs in to talk to us about
this. Yes, we are.
We're going to talk more about PrEP, which we talked about a couple of months ago. So
and the latest treatments. Yeah.
And we'll talk more about the latest treatments.
Yeah, but that's part of it. But don't you think, now, look, I'll say something. All right, I'll say something.
Say something controversial.
Edgy, controversial. Okay.
Get out,
then. I say that if... Okay, we won't talk about love. But if you care for somebody... That you're having sex with,
you would never
do anything to harm them, would you?
No.
And so you can leave it up to people to work this out. You don't have to give them line, chapter, and verse of how to do this. I mean, if you're HIV positive, you'll probably discuss that with your partner.
You don't want to pass it on.
That's right. And you don't want to pass it on.
But you do want to have intimate sex.
Of course. And therefore, you have to have a conversation, and an honest conversation with the other person.
You'd hope so. But then basically, you know, you come across situations where people have zero viral load. They've, you know, they basically get off and go. You know, that's the story.
Get off and go where?
Oh, well, who knows
where they go?
Well, they go. They go
Flinders Street?
No. They probably go somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
But basically, they don't say anything about it to the other person, and that still does happen. And so, you know, you do have to think
about
it.
But there is a lot about fear and stigma and all
of
that.
Well, yeah.
Well,
you just got to get yourself tested, haven't you? Make sure you take care of yourself, too.
And it's also... It also behoves the person who's HIV negative or proposedly negative to take care of themselves.
Absolutely.
Why demonise the person that's HIV positive?
And we've had that discussion on this show.
I'll get away from Section 19A.
We've had the discussion about Section 19A. We've had the discussion about the international criminalisation of HIV. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
With Sean Strube and Matt McCoy from the US who are working on them. Project Zero.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so we've had those discussions, and I think one of the things that we do need to know is that the really fabulous work that Living Positive Victoria has done in developing the Enough campaign is very vitally important. Because
isn't that effective?
We know from policy making that just one avenue doesn't work, that you need a number of different strategies. Some of those strategies are going to be medical. In this case, they're going to be either treatment as prevention or they're going to be PrEP in terms of post-exposure prophylactics or pre-exposure prophylactics.
That's right. Some are behavioural prevention.
Some will be behavioural prevention. Yep. So all of that, you put those together and And we know those things work because we've had a falling rate, and we have a target now of zero transmissions.
It's going
by 2020.
Well too.
Yeah. And we want that.
Yeah.
And look, it's achievable, I think, in this country.
Yeah, of course it's achievable. In this country, it's certainly achievable because we've had sensible other social policies. Like, you know, we kept away from the demonising of the gay community for a long time, or the infected community. And we didn't go around closing down all the sex on premises venues, but we used them as avenues for education.
Yeah.
We tested people in them. We handed out condoms. We educated. Mm-hmm. We've done all that sort of thing. I think it proves that the strategies that we used in Australia were right. And I'm very pleased to say I was involved in a lot of that early work.
You were. Bottom line is lose the shame, do what you have to do, and, you know, don't demonise anyone and just take care of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. A little bit more of taking care of each other. And not to forget that if, as we're moving back to taking care of HIV transmission now, and that safer sex is not as important under certain circumstances as it was because, if you have a zero viral load and all that. However, there are other little beasties out there too. And don't forget that, syphilis is getting up there. There's a lot of that in Sydney and Melbourne.
In Victoria in particular, it's a big issue.
There's been a real epidemic.
And the other thing you mustn't forget too is with gonorrhea. I nearly forgot about it. Yeah, for gonorrhea. We're one step away from having totally antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea.
Wow. Yeah.
And what are we going to do then?
Yeah, not good.
No. So you've got to take care of yourself. Okay.
Right.
Well, like we might have taken care of HIV, but then there's other things that have got to be thought about too.
Yeah.
And we really don't know how they are going to mutate in what they're going to mutate into, because we have seen that viral mutation is a really big issue. In fact, the whole of the antibiotic resistance is about that.
Just
happens faster when there's faster transmission. That's all it is, really. Yeah. Nobody's fault.
Yeah.
Just take care of yourselves.
So on that note, that
very cheery was
isn't that terrible? People won't be
but
sleeping
anyway,
now.
So anybody that wants to, are you
chased
still awake?
By gram negative
Clovis
has
obviously gone
coming
to
at
sleep.
Them.
They're probably at the sauna as we speak.
Clovis has obviously gone to sleep, I would say.
What was his message about?
He didn't message us yet. He told me before that he was
too ill.
When he called me to say that he wasn't coming in, and he said he was suffering.
Sorry to hear that, Clovis. And jet lag probably too, because he's just come back.
It's 2 hours difference between Malaysia and here,
hell.
Isn't it? It's terrible. Yeah. I think it's the weather that's probably got it, because it was tropical, according to his Facebook pictures. Up there. He was running around in T-shirts.
No, he said it was unpasteurised milk that he had.
Well, that could be true.
Well, he didn't know better.
Well, he didn't know it was unpasteurised at the time.
Again, take care of
yourself. There's a travel hint for you, well, travelling.
All these little tips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we're going to some messages now.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
So, Jim, we're going through some changes, like David Bowie.
We are. Yeah. Changes. We are going to, over the next few weeks, we're going to have a fantastic show that used to be on lunchtimes on Joy and recently moved in this podcast, in this grid moved to a 7 p.m. time slot called Absolutely Everybody, which was a show about disability. And unfortunately, it was mostly about disability and the ability of people with physical
different abilities,
mental disabilities. And it's been a fabulous show, I have to say. I've been a big supporter of it, and Steph and I very happily assisted the development of that program. And the team that's been presenting Absolutely Everybody is in a bit of hiatus at the moment, and it was going to disappear. It had its last show tonight, I think, earlier tonight at 7 o'clock on air, and they're going to disappear into podcast land. And so we've invited Amy from Absolutely Everybody to come on once a month, like Clovis does, to talk about disability in the queer world.
Like Clovis doesn't. always once a month.
Well, he does usually. He's a very okay. good boy most of the time.
He does his monthly. Okay.
All right. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, and yes, we're yes. going to have Amy to come into the studio or to podcast something for us. And we're going to play a... We're going to have an Absolutely Everybody segment on Is Nothing Sacred.
Oh, wonderful.
That'd be great.
And so that will be fantastic. So if you're a listener of Absolutely Everybody out there, you will be able to go on hearing Absolutely Everybody here at 10 o'clock on a Monday night in the middle of It's Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
It does work very well with us, though, on It's Nothing Sacred, I think.
Well, it's a very similar show to ours because they talk to people with disability issues and we've had some joint guests at times. We've had people who've been the same who've been on their show and then on ours or on ours and then on theirs that that you know we've taken in to expand on a discussion.
It sounds great. They're all about social justice and
they are all about social justice and about equity. Anti-discrimination and equity and so on. And we will continue that theme.
Human rights.
Hello if you're listening, Amy.
Hi Amy, can't wait to meet you and
go to sleep. I know you're meant to be going home and going to bed, but...
If not, where's the party?
Amy is a night owl. So anyway, that's a bit of what we're going to be doing in the future. We're going to have a few other quite interesting guests coming up fairly soon. And we'll be talking about all sorts of things. We're going to try and do a show on HIV and ageing. And if you've got any questions, we've had HIV and ageing. We're going to do things on the queer community and ageing. If you've got any questions about that, put them on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/isnothingsacred on Joy 94.9.
And Jim, we were also talking about things like homelessness, youth homelessness.
Yes, we're going to talk about homelessness. We're going to be having somebody in about homelessness fairly soon, and we'll be talking about queer homelessness, and we might actually have a discussion soon, I think, about the results of the marriage equality debacle.
Well, it's still ongoing, isn't it? But where it is right
Although
now is anybody's guess.
Labor have committed to passing it into law within the first 100 days.
If
whatever they may get into government.
Yes, well, you know, they're the only ones likely to get into government other than the Liberals.
No, it wasn't a very firm position.
Can we tell the difference between them?
Let's just continue to hope that moves ahead in Australia because we are far behind other countries, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that we're far ahead of other countries in some other issues on gay rights. And we ought to tote all those things up and work out what. But you know, my personal view is that we should ban marriage. We should just dump the Marriage Act. We should ban it, except for people that want a religious marriage. We should allow people to have religious marriage in a church or a temple or a synagogue or a mosque or a wherever it is that they go.
Well,
and we should ban them from having divorce because if they're really serious and it is really a union of a man and a woman for life, let's make it for life. Let them suffer, I say.
I don't know.
Everything becomes more popular when it's banned.
I know.
Yeah, it does.
So maybe
it
don't ban it. Just they'll all be rushing into it.
For what my view is worth is that there are births, deaths and marriages registries in every state. It's a state issue and it shouldn't be interfered with by federal law and they should maybe just get rid of the Marriage Act altogether. But anyway, let's just not get into it right now, I think.
Let's not make it any more difficult, I suppose. But the system like it's called PACS, I think, and I can't remember what the acronym's for, what the French have anyway. Mm. It's sort of like Marriage Light.
Yeah.
Where you register your union.
That's what civil unions always were.
You want to have a federal register, maybe introduce that. But, you know, we've already got a marriage register in every state. I mean, you know, why have we got this overriding legislation?
Because it was constitutionally put in that marriage is constitutionally a federal matter. It's been ruled on by the High Court.
Doesn't have to be, though.
It does have to be because it was ruled on by the High Court when the ACT tried to do it.
Well, it was ruled on by the High Court because of the legislation in the federal parliament that was introduced by John Howard in 2004, but I'm not going to go on about it.
No, but it was ruled because of the Constitution.
Yeah, it's constitutional in the fact that it's actually a state registry matter, really, but it's been overridden.
I think we need some Hilary Duff.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You have been listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. This is Jim in the studio with James and Claire Tony Maynard from the National Association of People with Acronyms.
Horrible acronyms. National Association of People with HIV Australia.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. The peak body of all the positive organisations around the country.
Positive people.
So Positive Living Victoria.
No. Living Positive
Living
Victoria,
Positive Victoria is part of it, and Positive Life New South Wales. And
yes. Yeah.
Exactly. So on.
Queensland Positive People and all the rest of them.
So that's the peak organisation.
Yeah.
Boss them around, is that right?
Oh, we work very closely with them.
You wouldn't dare boss them around, would you?
Minister, we work very closely with them.
Tony, it's been so great having you here tonight, though, and
hearing
those
Claire,
stories.
And thank you, James. And
thank you.
What history. Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. That's been good to have you.
It's been a blast to come into a studio that's in the 21st century. I was saying before, the last time I was in one, they had all these turntables and, you know, trying to cue.
And we're in a studio where no one has spilled a cup of coffee over the desk, so that still works.
Yes.
It does.
It works pretty well. And thank you to those people who messaged in tonight. And anybody that wants to leave us a message on our Facebook page, please.
I thought I'd have had a message from Sydney who's listening online tonight.
Oh, really? That's
yet to come.
We won't
mention the war.
That's yet to come.
We won't mention the fact that they rang you before when I was listening and promised to message you in, and then they have not done so.
Private texts after the show.
You can slap them when you get back to Sydney.
Anyway, thanks for coming in, Tony.
Thank you, Claire.
Yeah, and Jim, I think that's a wrap, James. Isn't it?
It is a wrap. So thanks, everybody, and thank you for listening, people. And we will be back next week at the same time, 10 p.m. on a Monday evening.
Give me a quick spiel. Can't even have a hint of what it was about, Jim.
Next Monday? What's the date next Monday?
What's the date today?
The 27th of July, isn't it?
We'll have a mystery show next week.
We're having a mystery show next week. We will be here with a guest.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.